Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
This year, the American Humane Association named Old Yeller, a Disney production, the all-time family movie. This may come as a surprise to some of you who may never have heard of, let alone seen this movie, because it was made almost 60 years ago. You also may never have heard of the American Humane Association, one of whose responsibilities is to ensure the welfare of the more than 100,000 animals used in 1,000 film productions annually. I saw the movie when I was pretty young, probably, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 years old. And it surprised me that it was given this honor. At least by today's standards, the movie is hardly all positive. It's the story of the Coates family, and particularly the eldest son, Travis, who's put in charge of the family when his father has to leave on a cattle drive in 1860. He and his mother and younger brother are left to take care of their Texas ranch and do the best they can. When this scraggly old yeller dog shows up, it's the last thing that Travis needs. He's got enough on his mind. He's dealing with adult responsibilities that would have seemed overwhelming even to him back then, when youngsters matured so much faster. The last thing he needs is a dog he calls Yeller, not just because of his dingy yellow color, but also because he talks a lot. But then Yeller earns his keep. He turns out to be an excellent protector relative to wild animals. Over time, he earns Travis's respect, and the dog respects him. So far, so good, right? It's going right along in the normal Disney tradition, or what we think of the normal Disney tradition today. But in the process of protecting the family from a rabid wolf, Yeller gets bitten. What makes this film outstanding is that this is not a simple case of a dog fighting to the death to protect his family. That's nice, that's clean, that appeals to our romantic sense. But that's not what happens. Yeller protects the family from the rabid wolf, but in the process he's badly bitten. And everyone in the family knows what that means. Yeller now poses a threat to them, and it is Travis's responsibility to kill the dog. I don't think this plot would fly today, even with the ending that includes one of Yeller's pups landing in the Coates household. There would be a disclaimer that there were parts of it that people might find disturbing. Something so fundamental with our relationships with animals, when we ask them to put their lives on the line for us, there are responsibilities. We can't be guaranteed the heroic ending that will take the problem out of our hands. We need to accept that in the process of protecting us, animals that loved us and that we loved may die. That's the message of Old Yeller. Even though it won the animal version of the Oscar for being an all-time favorite movie, I doubt that there will be a resurgence of interest in the film. It's not the kind of message we want to hear in the all-positive world we've created with our dogs. And yet, it's the message that we should. We live in a society where it's sometimes easy to separate making choices and accepting any negative consequences of those choices. Relative to choices we make that undermine our animals' health, behavior, or welfare in other ways, I think that's a shame. Because if we don't have to accept those consequences, we'll never learn. We'll never recognize how much that animal was willing to give to us, and we'll lose the opportunity to return the favor.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.